This is part three, actually part two, of the doctrine of the plan of God and divine decrees. We left off talking about lapsarianism and the issue of election and predestination. So we have theological terms that are associated with this concept. The heading, of course, is lapsarianism, which talks about the major decrees of God. We studied, of course, last time, the fact that God designed and desired in his sovereignty to bring creatures into existence that have free will. Now, rocks don't have free will, animals don't have free will, but there's two categories of creatures that we know of that do. One is angels, and the other is us, humans. And so these decrees apply to humans, the second category of creatures that have free will. So the fancy theological term is called lapsarianism, and there's different schools of thoughts about the correct view of election and predestination of what God did in eternity past when he decreed that these things would come into existence. The first one is called supra-lapsarianism or Calvinism, and this is a false doctrine. And here's what supra-lapsarianism holds. There's 5 points. One, God elected that some humans would be saved. So in eternity past, it says that God elected, he chose which humans would be saved and which humans he would condemn. Two, there's limited atonement on the cross. In other words, Christ didn't die for the sins of all mankind. He only died for the sins of the believers only. You can see why this is a false doctrine. Point one and point two tell you pretty much right there. This is against what the scripture says. Three, there was a decree to create all mankind. So under this doctrine, God condemned certain humans to go to hell right from the very beginning. Number four, there was a decree to allow the fall of mankind. And of course, that's our grandparents in the garden. God decreed that they would be allowed to use their volition to fall. Well, that part is true. Five, the decree to provide salvation for the elect. And that part, again, is only a half-truth. Now, the elect took advantage of what Christ did on the cross. But the decree was to provide salvation for all mankind. So this is a false doctrine. And it was founded, of course, they call it Calvinism, but if you read Calvin, it was really one of his pupils that came up with this stuff. Number B, the other one is infralapsarianism, and this is a true doctrine. First of all, God did the decree to create man. Man had to be created first and then permitted to use his free will to fall. So God created mankind with free will, and that's called the soul. Man was made in the shadow image of God. John 15:19, Romans 11:5-7, Ephesians 1:4. Then God did the decree to permit the fall, which is true. God did the decree to permit the fall. And then three, unlimited atonement. So unlimited atonement is that God provided the opportunity for all humans to be saved because Christ died on the cross for the sins of all people, those that God knew would believe and those that God knew would not believe. And there's your distinction from Calvinism, the false doctrine. So Jesus Christ, of course, died on the cross for all sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. And that's called unlimited atonement. We know at the Great White Throne Judgment that the indictment for the unbeliever is not sin, because that would be double jeopardy. Christ died for the sins of the unbeliever. The indictment is their good deeds. Because basically what they're saying is that we rejected the work of God on our behalf, and therefore, we're going to substitute our own work to have union with God, who's perfect. And that can never be. Number four, the election of believers with predestination. And that's the fourth doctrine. I've got that illustrated on the board here with a diagram. I have the two words election and predestination. Now, all humans start out at X, which is the point of your birth. And we're all born spiritually dead. We have an old sin nature, a genetically formed old sin nature when we're born. And God imputes life, but at the same time, he imputes Adam's original sin to our genetically formed old sin nature. So we're born physically alive and spiritually dead. And we go along that trail for some time. And then we have, this is the positive one. This diagram assumes that you've got a believer that's very positive to Bible doctrine. I could draw other diagrams for other categories of humans. But this is the believer that's positive to doctrine. So this person is X, he's born. God knew in eternity past that X would come into existence. He also knew that that person would make the decision to believe in Christ. And though God elected this person, he did not elect the unbeliever, because he knows the unbeliever will not respond to the gospel. However, God provided equal opportunity for that unbeliever, because Christ died for the sins of the unbeliever. But God simply knew that that person would not respond. God didn't make him not respond. God just knew that they would not respond. But to show the fairness of God, he provided a system where Jesus Christ would die for the sins of all mankind. Therefore, the unbeliever cannot say, "It's not fair. You condemned me to hell right from the very beginning." God's answer is, "No, I didn't. And I provided the means for you to be saved, equal opportunity for every human to be saved. Equal opportunity." But God knew that this human, let's put your name on it, you would be born spiritually dead. But there would come a time when your little soul would go beep, beep, beep on positive signals. "I want to know my Creator. I want to be with my Creator." That's all you have to provide. And the Holy Spirit will get you the gospel. You hear it and you believe it. So that's the point of why. Now, your volition has lined up with God's volition. Your sovereign decision lines up with his sovereign decision, because that's what he wants for all humans. You're just one of the smart humans that took advantage of the advantages. And so you are now born again. Ah, but there's another part. That's predestination. Now, predestination, of course, goes in with election, because in order to get you the gospel, God had to add into the equation of history the mechanics of how the Holy Spirit's going to get you the gospel. So he predestined things. Without violating human free will, he interceded in history through God the Holy Spirit, because he knew you'd be positive. Therefore, I've got to find somehow, somewhere, someone or something to expose you to the Word of God. Now, that could be, you could read a tract in a bathroom which has accurate gospel information and believe it just by reading it. Someone can tell you about it. It's either going to come through the ear gate or the eye gate, one or the other. Now, and of course, if you're born with handicaps, well, God, if you're positive, he'll get it to you somehow. Now, if you're born with handicaps where you can't form a volitional response to God, you're automatically saved. We studied that before. All morons and children that die before the age of accountability are saved because they didn't have the opportunity to say no. So once you're born again, then we go to Z, because God's second directive will is for you to reach spiritual maturity, a 4-star general. And so he provided this straight line, this blue line is straight up, for you to go from Y to Z. Now, no human ever stays on the railroad track straight ahead. Only one did. And that's the humanity of Jesus Christ. He never deviated from God's plan for him to be a mature believer, not once. We, however, and you can see I've just got the diagram here with a red line, we're all over that line. We're up and down and left and right, but we're still positive to Bible doctrine. We use the rebound technique, and God puts us back on the main track until eventually we get to the point of maturity, and that's God's second directive will. So the first directive will, I want all humans to be saved. They're not. I want all believers to reach maturity. They're not. I was thinking about that driving into San Antonio this morning. There are well over 1 million-plus people in this town, maybe up to 2 million very soon. And I wondered how many of those believers are positive to Bible doctrine. I know of one other gathering of believers in the city that there's an accurate Bible teacher. Just one. There may be others. I don't know. But that's not many. I mean, that's a fraction of a fraction of numbers. And you know from our study of the Word of God, that's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always been. Now, the mass of humanity, how many get to the point of why? I'm just talking about the point of Z. How many get to the point of why? I don't know. Don't know. But there's vast areas on this planet where they're not at the point of why, folks. Millions and millions and millions born and dead never get to the point of why at all. So, infralapsarium, we have the election of believers with predestination added in. Romans 8:28. God elected you because he knew you'd respond to the gospel, and he predestined, one, get you the gospel, and two, get you a Bible teacher, because that's how you get to point Z. You can't do it on your own. Nobody can. Then we have the five, which is decree to save the elect through faith in Christ. Then we have Arminianism, which is the fourth category of lapsarianism, and this is also a false doctrine. One, you have the decree to create man. Two, you have the decree to permit the fall. Three, you have unlimited atonement. So we're pretty good so far, right, in general terms. Ah, where's it fall apart? You've got it. Number four, salvation by human good works. That's a lie. Absolute lie. You can't be saved by human good works. And therefore, it's a false doctrine. Salvation by works. Do good, be good, feel good. I try to listen sometimes when I'm driving in to some of the other preachers on the radio on Sunday morning, and there's fewer and fewer radio shows anymore. If you go to Alabama, Mississippi, they're all over the radio. Here, they've got on two of the main AM stations, they got gardening things, how to garden your garden, which is wonderful news if you're a gardener. And then there's one show, I was listening to like 5 minutes of singing, about 5 minutes of introduction, and then go back to another 5 minutes of singing, I had to turn. There's no content at all. And then there's two other guys talking to each other, just talking about nonsense, basically, what you would get in any type of an AA meeting, which really doesn't mean anything. Number four, this is theme lapsarianism. So it's an expanded infralapsarianism, which is true. And here we have, first of all, we have the decree to create man. Why? Well, theme adds in there. Why was man created? These other ones don't. Well, man was created to resolve the angelic conflict and to share God's happiness. So two reasons God created man. One, to resolve the angelic conflict, and two, because he wanted to do it under the doctrine of happiness. He wanted to share his glory with sons, which includes the ladies also, daughters. Hebrews 2:10. Two, the decree to permit the fall and extend the angelic conflict to mankind. We're in the angelic conflict right now, up to our ears, whether you know it or not. Number three, unlimited atonement. Number four, God deposited escrow blessings for all believers. Ephesians 1:3, 1 Peter 1:3-4, and full rewards for those that reach maturity. There's our diagram. So theme just expands on, yes, God wants you to be a mature believer, but guess what he also did? We know what he did for the salvation part, but actually he did something for the believer, the mature believer part. And of course, when did he do these things for you? For salvation? In eternity past. When did he do these things for you for maturity? In eternity past. Because God's fair. And if God wants something to happen, he provides everything you need to make it happen. The only ingredient you got to provide is your volition. And then six, the decree to save the elect through faith in Christ. Oh, excuse me, five is election and predestination for the believer occurred together at the same time, Ephesians 1:4-5 and Romans 8:28 and following. Of course, election and predestination occur simultaneously in the plan of God. And then we have the decree to save the elect through faith in Christ. The elect is saved through faith in Christ. Point 17, election is rejected by those who reject the idea that they are dependent on God. They want to think that they are unrelated to God. When people reject election or the providence of God, they're rejecting the very attributes of God. Isn't it funny? God created your free will, and you use your free will to reject him. Kind of irony there. And so arrogant people reject the doctrine of election because somehow they think that they're a robot or a puppet on a string. They're uncomfortable with the idea that God knew about you trillions of years ago. Because somehow they think that that means God made me do these things. No, he doesn't. Distinguish between what God makes and what God allows. The fact that God knows your day of death doesn't bother me at all. Well, let's see. Of course, it really wouldn't bother me. What about my death? No, that doesn't bother me at all. And he knows it. I just don't know it. He knows what level I'm going to end up at as a mature believer. I don't know. I'm going to get something. I know that. I just don't know what exactly I will get. But it doesn't bother me at all because I don't have that arrogance in my soul to that degree. I'm not saying I'm not an arrogant person, but at least I've got that because Bible doctrine has washed that out. Same with you. 18, God works all things for good to the mature believer only. Psalm 37:23, Romans 8:28-30. This passage is not written and does not refer to the loser believer. Who's the loser believer? They're the believer that goes from X to Y, they make one good decision to be saved, and they never go anywhere else. They're losers. And I draw their path in life just with a straight down line like the stock market on Friday, which went down 600 points. But don't worry, it'll come back up. For them, they never come back up. And so Romans 8, 28 to 30 says, and we know, well, this assumes that you are a believer that knows Bible doctrine, that God causes all things to work together, soon ergio, for good, agathos, good of intrinsic value, divine good. To those who love God, the word agapao here means a general term for love. This is not impersonal love. This is a general term for love. For those who love God. And who loves God? If you can't tell me anything about God, you don't love God. If you can tell me a whole lot about God, then I might listen to you. You can't love what you don't know. And many people, of course, that's the problem. They get in marriage. They project their values on someone that they don't really know. And therefore, when they marry that person, they see they don't have those values. Well, how do you think they had them? You projected on them. You made up your own soulmate. But it wasn't your soulmate after all, was it? Why? Because you're arrogant and you made it up. You projected. And people try to tell you they're no good. Oh, they're just very concerned about me. That's not jealousy. No, they're actually jealous SOB. But you projected because you saw what you wanted to see. Same with most believers. They make up their own God. And all these radio evangelists these days, they talk about lovey-dovey stuff and lovey-dovey, and Jesus loves everybody and just love, love, love. And they say, well, give us some passages about the second coming where it's kill, 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 and hell, hell, hell. They don't even talk about those because they're making up their own God. And therefore, it's an idol. And they worship their own idol. They don't know God. So God only causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. That's our pattern right here. The believer that loves him will use rebound. And therefore, he causes things to work together for good. Your bad decisions, he turns into blessings. The things that were a curse, he turns into a blessing. Because he's God. And of course, he's kind of, you know, he knew about these things in eternity past. So he can intervene to put you back on the track. So he says, to those who are called, klektos, which means to invite to a banquet. He invited us to a banquet. According, kata, to his purpose. Prothesis, which means a predetermined plan. The word prothesis means a predetermined plan. He predetermined this plan for your life. Whether you do it or not is up to you. And every believer will go to the Hall of Records and they'll see X, Y, and they'll see Z for them. They just won't get it. They'll see this big straight line, what God wanted them to do, and they didn't do it. So they get no rewards. But it's there behind the glass. You can look at it. And that's the predetermined plan. He wants everybody, every believer, to reach maturity. And then it says, he also predestined, proitzo, which means to decide beforehand, to become conformed, sum morphos, which means having the same form as another. So what form are we supposed to conform to? Well, it tells you right here. To the image of his son. And his son, of course, is Jesus Christ. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to conform to God's thinking. So that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Adelphos is the word brothers, which means we're all in union with Christ. Christ is the firstborn. And these whom he predestined, same word again, or a derivative of it, of course, proitzo, he also called, kaleo. Now, the word call here means to call aloud, to invite you. And these whom he called, he also justified. And that's dikaioo, which means to render righteous, because in order for you to start this whole ball rolling, you've got to have the righteousness of God imputed to your soul / spirit. And therefore, he elected you in eternity past. He gave you his very righteousness, and he desires you go from point Y to point Z. Now, everybody in this room is making good decisions because you're saying to yourself, dude, I want to go to point Z. So you're making a very good decision by studying the word. And so it says, he also justified by receiving his righteousness, and these whom he justified, dikaioo, he also glorified, doxazo, which means to honor. What does that mean? Well, we know what it means. Because at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to look into your soul,
and he's going to see this
in the soul, the righteousness, and then he's going to see all these categories of Bible doctrine, and he will honor that. You honored him, he will honor you. It's honor answering honor. In the military, one side salutes and the other side salutes back. So when he sees that, then he's honored, and of course you receive your rewards. When Lee surrendered at Appomattox, there was a very touching scene where the Union Army lined up down the road on both sides, and as the surrender was being offered, the Union officers and soldiers saluted the Confederate officers and soldiers as they marched through. And it was called honor answering honor. Enemies, now friends. So, God will honor you. He will glorify you. And glory, doxa, always refers to the essence of God. You've taken the glory of God, you've got this part of his essence. And when you put the rest of the box in there, man, you've got it made on this planet in your living body in phase two, and you've got it made for all eternity. You've got it made because you've done what God wants you to do. Now, we will take a quick pause and we will move over to the doctrine of poverty.